Jackie Rodriguez, and this is the Friends with Friends podcast, the podcast where we explore all 236 episodes of the TV show Friends, one at a time. And we are in season 4, and I am joined by my friend, Vanessa.
Hi, everyone. I'm the newbie. Never watched Friends in my life until now.
Yeah, Jason.
Hey, I'm Jason, and I've been around since the Friends, and this episode surprised me.
All right. Yeah. So we are in season 4. This is the 87th episode. It's the one with Joey's dirty day. It premiered February 5th, 1997 with 25.1 million viewers. Vanessa, want to give us a quick overview?
Yes, I can. So in this episode, Chandler's going through his breakup phases. Joey's doing a movie with Charlton Heston, but shows up on Smet smelling stinky. Ross starts dating Emily, who will impact both Ross and Rachel's life in a pivotal way.
Yes. Okay. First, these breakup phases by Chandler were hilarious. I love it because it's so true. You have these phases. I don't go through what Chandler goes through, but it's like it's these phases of I hate him, I hate him, I hate him, and you see his car everywhere, and then you're like, oh, I miss him, and then you're like, oh crap, like what did I do?
You know? You don't wear only your sweatpants for a phase, and then go to a strip club, and then
yeah, but Vanessa, want to explain the phases?
Yeah, it's funny though. One thing to note was that Joey knew all of the phases, yet he is kind of like the womanizer in this whole series, like, you know, just out to have a good time. But so the phases, currently Chandler is in phase 1. He's in sweatpants and he is in the breakup phase, like the just beginning the breakup phase. Mm-hmm. Phase 2 is a drunk go to strip club phase. Phase 3, picturing himself with other women. So those are the three phases as mentioned by Joey, and Chandler is currently in phase 1.
Yes. So we're going to see him make his way through them.
So my question though is, are these Chandler's three phases or these three phases for men in general? I wasn't quite clear on that. I think it may be just Chandler's phase. And Joey knows it because he's seen the cycle before.
Yeah.
Chandler, they both know because they've been through it before with him, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's the same question I had too, because it was interesting that Joey had just particularly mentioned these phases. And so that's what I was wondering too, like, is it just for Chandler or is it just for kind of all guys in general?
I took it as for all guys in general, because it's just, they kind of just generalize all when they're explaining it too, in the very beginning of the episode. But I mean, we've never seen Ross go through these phases. So you guys do make a valid point of like maybe it is just them. But when I first watched it, I thought it was general.
But I thought it also reminded me of the episode of the metaphorical tunnel when Chandler was getting relationship advice from the girls and he was eating soy ice cream because he wasn't terminal enough for the real stuff.
Oh, yes.
I had to kind of like relook at the notes for that because I thought, I was like, wait, didn't we already see this happen to Chandler? But no, it was relationship advice.
Ah, that is really funny.
Yeah, so maybe it is just Chandler's phases that he goes through.
He feels
very astute analysis there, Vanessa. Yeah. Very astute. Yeah.
He feels it deep, though. I mean, I don't know. That's just my opinion.
Well, he's very emotional, as we all know. has commitment issues, but then is also very emotional.
Yes, he is. And it's funny that, so because Joey's going fishing and then he has a shooting day with Charles Heston, like, it's funny that, like, the girls, again, like, the metaphorical tunnel, like, they step in to help him through again. And so they take him to the strip club.
Phoebe was totally excited to go.
Totally excited to go.
And it's funny, though, at the end, because towards the end of the episode, they were recapping, you know, their time there. And Chandler couldn't picture himself with any of the girls, but he pictured the girls with all of the girls. They really liked. Yeah, they were starting to pick their favorite ones. Chantel had the smooth skin, and Michelle was petite. Yeah.
I think it's hilarious that they got to know all the strippers and know their whole story and know everything about them.
I thought it was so funny the way that they're at the strip club. Oh, give me the number to your whoever
the
was.
The carpet guy.
And it's like, Chandler's like, this isn't how it's supposed to be. Oh, does somebody need lap dance? Like,
I actually was surprised that they showed a scene in a strip club.
Yeah.
on primetime TV in the 90s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they did show like that, them putting, like, it was a big butt shot, you know what I mean? Of them putting
and she's not wearing, she's from the back, but she's clearly not wearing a top.
Yeah,
it was. I was surprised.
It was.
Maybe
it
I'm just no prude.
Well, nowadays, I wouldn't be surprised by it.
No, but no one would be surprised 90s, at all now.
Yeah. Yeah, in the 90s, it seemed like
I actually tried to Google and see if that was, like, the first time a strip club had been on there, but I couldn't find it.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't know. I just seeing Chandler go through these phases, you know, and Joey kind of acknowledging these phases, saying this really happens to Chandler. But yeah, I wonder if Ross will go through a phase with, you know, his next girlfriend or the girl we see in this episode.
Yeah.
I think that's a whole interesting conversation. That's what I didn't anticipate. I didn't anticipate her being there.
Yes. And remember I mentioned like this whole job change for Rachel, like it was going to be pivotal because it's going to lead to something else. So it led to her new boss. And so that led to Emily. And so Emily is her new boss's niece that's visiting from London. And Rachel is supposed to go to an opera, Die Fledermaus, to take her. And she doesn't want to. And she gets Ross to take her because she wants to hang out with Josh and gets invited to a nightclub. So that's how we get invited, or that's how we meet Emily.
Is this really the first person he's dated since they broke up?
Remember he dated the dirty girl?
Yeah.
The paleontologist, right?
Yes, we've seen him with other girls, but I think
Rebecca Romaine. But that didn't. Yeah. That was a very short thing. This is going to go on for a couple episodes, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, this is going to go on for a long time in the Friends world because of what happens and how everything develops. But so when I first watched this, I had no idea what her boss was saying about the tickets and the opera, and so I actually googled it. Die Fledermaus. I was like, what is that? And it was composed in 1874 by an Austrian, Johann Strauss, and he was composed over 500 waltzes and was known as Waltz King. So that's where we get the Viennese waltz, was one basically from him. So I was like, so I've seen the Viennese waltz on Dancing with Stars, and I was like, and I didn't know this is from this guy who, you know, Emily and Rachel are supposed to go see at the opera.
It's very impressive, and I'm very impressed of how you say it again. What's the name of the opera?
Die Fledermaus.
Say it again.
Die Fledermaus.
Isn't deflator like die,
D-I-E, and then flater, like F-L-A-D-E-R, and then mouse, like mouse, the little mouse. Die Fledermaus.
You're saying that very well. I'm very impressed.
Oh, I know. I googled it.
I could not have figured out how to pronounce it.
I know. I didn't know either. Because when I would watch his back, I'm like, what's he saying? But I googled. So
it means the bat. It's German for the bat.
Oh. There you go.
Flittermaus is like a flying bat.
Mm-hmm.
Flittermaus.
Yeah. And so,
I love how, though, Rachel didn't want to take her, and she gets Emily gets dumped off to Ross, and Ross unwillingly decides to take her out, because the way Emily shows up to the apartment, it's not a way that you would want a guest to show up. Just totally obnoxious, over the top, high maintenance. So Ross didn't want to go out with her, but he did because he was doing it for Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Yeah.
And then in the end, well, they go to Vermont.
Yeah, they go to Vermont and they end up liking each other, and it ends up being significant. And you even see the moment that she realizes it, because again, she tries to get Ross to go with her because she wants to go to a nightclub with Josh. So you see them the next day, and she ends up not being able to get into the club in the nightclub. So she didn't have a good night. Didn't turn out the way she wanted it. And then when they're like, oh, he's in Vermont, she's like, with who? Oh, no. It's like she knows what she did, you know?
Yep.
So now she's kind of like, well, can't do anything now, you know, and you'll see how it all pans out.
It's like they're still in that phase of like, I still really care for you, but I hate you.
Uh-huh.
Because of this. So it's just they're in that phase and they just get mad at each other, and it's still that frustrating phase, and it sucks to see it happen even like kind of more clearly in a way, because another girl is involved, Emily, now. And then you start seeing Ross develop feelings for Emily, and it very much sucks, I feel like.
Yeah, yeah.
I do like the way they played it out, though. Because when she was coming to the apartment, and she was going to, I'm like, oh, she's going to be really pretty, and Ross is going to go gaga over her. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, yeah, I know where this is going. Mm-hmm. But then she comes in wet and angry and storms out and all that, so... I did like the way they didn't play into the, they didn't take the easy route. They made it a little more complicated for Ross to, you know, get to her. And it's interesting because a friend of mine who's a writer posted on social the way he writes and he puts every idea on a postcard, a little card, and then sorts them out. And he goes, and always put in the obstacles for the characters to get what they want. Add obstacles for the characters to get what they want. And I think that's what was one of the things they did there. They made an obstacle that she was, you know, disheveled and in a bad mood because she came in out of the rain and was being, you know, dumped by Rachel. So I thought that was, you know, a good move. It was thoughtful. They thought about it, how they were doing it, instead of just the easy way of him meeting a pretty girl.
Yeah. And then, you know, furthermore, to discuss the whole thing of them hating each other, but still having those feelings for each other, Ross comes back smitten over Emily, and he tells Rachel how he's feeling, that he's over her and he's ready to move on. Mm-hmm. And Rachel, I don't think at that point was ready to hear that. I think she just liked having someone still want her.
Mm-hmm.
And so Emily is played by Helen Baxendale. She was written, so I guess this kind of spills the beans for me because when I was doing the research, she was actually written out of Friends a lot earlier than they had wanted to, because she was only in 14 episodes. So she lived in in England when she was filming Friends. So yeah, so they wanted to keep her, I guess, and then just other things got in the way and they wrote her out.
Yeah.
How many episodes is she in?
14.
I can't wait to see how this develops, because that's a lot of episodes.
It is, and it's a lot of episodes, and a lot of things happen with this. And I feel like anybody that goes, you know, it's a big role to take on. Like anybody that goes against the Ross and Rachel storyline, that is an obstacle for them. They get a lot of heat for. Like, you know, Julie, you know, played by Lauren Tom, told us that in earlier podcasts. And since it's such a big show and everybody's rooting for Ross and Rachel, I feel like all the heat and all the fame happens, like it's coming fast. And that's what she mentioned as well. She told the Daily Mail that she had a glimpse of what fame holds, and I decided it held a load of nothing. And so that's why she also kind of stepped away when she did, because she wanted to focus on her family and be in London doing West End plays. And so she didn't because you don't see her. Like I remember afterwards being like, well, have I ever seen her at other things? Not really, because you think when you guest star in that many episodes of Friends that you're going to keep going in your career because you were just on Friends. Mm. But she kind of stepped away from fame. She just didn't like it. She thought it was fun. You know, I enjoyed playing the person, you know, making so many jokes about England. But she was just like, I'm done. I've seen the fame and I don't want any part of it. So I thought that was interesting, too, that she's only.
I wonder if she's saying she's seen the fame, like, seen the fame firsthand, or if it's she's seen the fame in the five Friends.
Yeah. No, that's what she says. It became impossible to live a normal life from a girl from Warrington in, you know, England, whose earliest ambition had been to be a ballet dancer. It was all a bit overwhelming. Like you couldn't walk down the street to buy milk. You couldn't go anywhere. It was impossible to mix in the crowd because like it was that big of a show. You know, and her character was an obstacle for Ross and Rachel. And you'll see what happens with that, you know, in the next 13 episodes. But she just didn't want that. And so she kind of stepped away from it, which is a big decision to make, too, you know.
Yeah.
So, but it was good. Like, I like that they brought her in the way that she did, because we should have believed her the first time she came in.
She is on this new show, a British show, Knots and Crosses, which I heard is good. I haven't seen it, but I heard it was good.
Recently?
Yeah. Maybe it's a smaller role. Maybe she came back or, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You would think like, you know, after guesting on Friends for such a long time that she would be getting, you know, like they have been, like, you know, suddenly Susan, you know, with Sherry Shepherd or something like that, you know, and she just was like, peace.
Sounds like she went back to England and kind of doing her own thing over there.
Yeah, yeah, totally. So, but you'll see how it all plays out.
I'm excited to see it all play out, just because the way that she was brought in, it was a pretty dramatic way that she was brought in.
Mm-hmm.
So I liked it. I can't wait to see how this story develops, and especially how, you know, Rachel, it's, you know, one thing after the other. She thought it was all going to be okay with her dumping Emily off to Ross, and then Ross telling her, okay, you know, I'm totally over you.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. I can't wait to see how it all plays out in the end.
I don't mean to be spoiler alert, but I feel like it plays out big in the next, by the end of the season, right?
It sure does.
Stay tuned, Vanessa. Stay tuned.
It does. Oh. Well, another big guest star was Charlton Heston. So should we take a break and then discuss that?
Sure.
All right. We'll be right back.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
And we're back. So the title is the one with Joey's dirty day. And he's dirty and has to take a shower in Charlton Heston's dressing room.
Yeah, so when Joey goes on the fishing trip with his dad, there are no showers available at the campsite or the fishing site, wherever they're at. So he hasn't showered all weekend, comes back dirty, is studying for this big role he has, falls asleep, forgets to take a shower, and it makes him late to the his call time.
Yeah.
So essentially, yeah, he goes to work without a shower.
Oh, this is so random that Charlton Heston is in this. And I tried to Google, like, how did they get Charlton Heston to be part of this episode? And I couldn't find it. I don't think he's done very many interviews about, like, being part of Friends.
My husband was like, I was watching it, and he's on his phone, and he looks up. He's like, is that Charlton Heston? I was like, I think so, yeah.
Yeah. He's one of those random big A-list actors. I know him from Ten Commandments, you know? So it's just random.
Well, I mean, they said he was doing a movie with Charlton Heston, but I thought it was going to be like, what was it? He was doing a movie with the last movie he was in, which he was also in the shower in, by the way. It De Niro or
yes.
Pacino?
He was Al Pacino's butt.
He was Al Pacino's butt. Okay. So when they said that, but Al Pacino wasn't in it. So when Heston walks out of the room onto the set, I'm like, wait a minute, what?
Oh, random.
But I think of him as a very serious, you know, old school actor. I mean, known for Ben-Hur, yes. The Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
But Planet of the Apes. Actually, that's the first thing I remember from was the original Planet of the Apes series. So it was just completely took me off guard and surprised me because I figured I thought it was going to be one of those where they talk about the big star who's not really there.
Yeah. Yes. So a little background on Charlton Heston, you know, he, as Jason said, he's a huge actor, Ben-Hur, and he got an Academy Award for Best Actor in The Ten Commandments. He also got a Golden Globe nomination, and he was in Planet of the Apes, and he has starred in over 100 films during his 60-year career. So he's huge,
huge. So it's like, so he comes on set, and he's playing a version of himself. And so it's like, it's not like he's playing somebody else. So I just like, who knew that they had Charlton Heston? Like, maybe I should email one of the writers and be like,
We should totally ask them. Let's see if they have this. How did you get Heston?
Yes. Cause it's, and I just like I wonder what Matt LeBlanc was feeling like, cause this is a legendary dude, like what Matt LeBlanc was feeling when he was acting, you know, aside from him. And it was so funny because Charlton is threatening him to not take any more showers in his room.
Well, the whole gag about him stinking is very funny. The double entendre of him stinking is very entertaining and very, very good.
I liked it because I was kind of feeling bad for Joey that he hadn't showered, but like you said, the double entendre of the whole stinky, like he's a stinky actor is the way Charlton Heston took it.
Yeah. And he's like, no, I physically stink. And like, he's in a towel just sitting there and it's like,
And he gives him the pep talk too about, you know, how every actor thinks they stink.
But never, ever stink in my dressing room and use my shower.
Oh, it's so random. I don't get it. Yeah. But I liked it. I liked it though. It was funny. It's nice, like comedic, you know, way to go about bringing in A-lister.
I think it was hilarious. And I mean, how did they? I would like to know more about how they got him to do that. How they talked him into it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure it was somebody who knew somebody. Maybe Marlo Thomas knew him. I don't know. Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe. Or maybe it was just like a happy accident, like Robin Williams and Billy Crystal, you know, like
they were really on looks, set.
Yeah. Because it was the Warner Brothers lot. And so there's a whole bunch of stages over there. I mean, Friends is on stage 24. So I just wonder.
I couldn't find anything.
Yeah. I looked too. I looked in my friend's book. I was like, couldn't find anything.
Hopefully we can reveal it to all of our friends' fans as to why he was on the show.
Yeah. Oh, but it was good. And it's just another case of, you know, Friends being the biggest show on TV at this time and, you know, bringing in A-list actor just to, like, zhuzh it up because this is February and it is February sweeps at this time, right? So they probably had some good promos going on that Charlton Heston was going to be on.
I saw this episode as one of being kind of like this, you know how we see episodes, it's kind of like, okay, they taper down a bit and then they start picking back up. Like this episode started to pick back up and it's getting ready for what's to come.
And yeah, I find that's like a trend too. It's like, okay, so in the beginning of the series, because we're seeing that, you know, we're seeing in each season, beginning series, it picks up from this season that it left off of. And then it kind of tapers off. And then the middle, they input a story so that they can build on that for a cliffhanger on the end. So around, let's keep looking at like the 14, 15 episodes each season and see what they do, you know, because this is it. This is the beginning of like the big cliffhanger for season 4.
It's a good one. I like this episode. I thought Rachel was really funny in this episode too.
Yeah.
Oh my God, we have to talk about that. She's so violent in this episode. She talks about punching the woman in the face. She keeps hitting Chandler, and then she hits Ross later. She's so violent.
Yeah.
I know, and her crush on Joshua just keeps like, I don't know.
His name is Joshua.
Not Joshua.
It's like she's so obsessed with him.
I know.
Yeah,
I don't get it. I don't think he's that cute or that charismatic.
No, he's just there. To me, there's nothing, you know.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Tom Selleck, though, that's another story. I feel like we're all on the same page with that.
Yeah, I think we're all on the same page with that. Bring Richard back.
Bring Richard
back. We'll always be Team Richard.
Oh, yes, it's good. But we'll see. I mean, we'll see where this whole Joshua thing goes. I mean, not as long as like Emily, you know, like we mentioned, but you know, it is a good starting off point to the end of the season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then one of my favorite lines was from Rachel when she goes, "You don't just go to Vermont." And Monica says, "You went to Velvet Barry." And Rachel says, "For once, can you not remember every little thing?" Like the way she says it. Yes. She was so upset that Monica was calling her out.
Oh, that was good. Mine was when Phoebe was yelling at Chandler, "Stop being a wuss and get those off. You come with us and watch naked girls dance around." Like Phoebe was so about the strip club.
She's going through a lot right now.
Oh, man. It was funny.
Phoebe's cute. I love it when she thinks she felt the baby and it was just her underwear, the elastic popping.
Mm-hmm. Coming up in the next episode of Friends with Friends, Ross learns how to play rugby because he wants to impress his new English girlfriend, Emily, which is just hilarious. It doesn't go his way, but we enjoy the effort. So if you like us, please subscribe, give us 5-star ratings, and leave nice comments. We'll read them for you.
Until next time.
Bye.
Bye.